meeting with an apology. But I really would like to humbly apologize that we do not have the copy of the agenda, but that will be circulated, say, in 10 minutes' time, we will be having one. But for now, if you can allow me to start, because I'm using the secretary's the agenda that is on the secretary's gadget. All right, but also I think the secretaries, just if they can help me, because this is happening for the first time. I'm not sure why for the first time. So if the secretariat can help us make sure that these documents are available a day before, actually that's been organized. For now, we look very disorganized, and I blame the secretariat. So in future, let's correct one area of improvement. Let's circulate these documents a day before. Thank you very much. Shall we then proceed? I will then... Well, thank you very much. The agenda is here. And please, let's not disrupt my meeting. I want to start. All right. In terms of the agenda, we have opening, apologies, presentation by the Department of Water and Sanitation, deliberations, announcements, and correspondence, closing. So we will then start with the opening. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, shall we bow our heads and observe a moment of silence for prayer or meditation? Thank you. All right. Morning, honorable members. Morning to the honorable deputy minister of the Department of Water, Water and Sanitation, and the delegation that is accompanying the Honorable Deputy Minister. I would also like to greet the staff and all guests present here. In terms of public participation, anybody from the public can come, can join, and you know, observe our work. But thank you for showing interest in our work. I wish to welcome all of you to this very important meeting. But then a special word of welcome is extended to the Honorable Deputy Minister and her delegation. This is a meeting wherein we will receive a briefing from the Department of Water and Sanitation Development on its financial and non-financial performance for the year or the accounting year 2016/17. A primary objective in the mandate of the committee as provided for in the Money Bills Act is to ascertain whether the spending patterns of departments are in line with voted budgets. Very simple. You have your MTSF strategic plan, and then you then develop your STM medium-term strategic framework, and then you develop your MT, it's medium term expenditure plan, am I right? And then your ATP. Yes. So you'll see that we're not asking for something that you yourself don't know about. It's something that you yourself have planned, but also in your planning, as the PFMA prescribes, then you link your budget to your plan, because there's no money that should hang in terms of the PFMA. Money must be linked to your plan. So as we engage on the presentation, the committee wishes to gain clarity, not only for MPs here, but for all tax-paying South Africans who wish to see that their taxpayer funds are spent in accordance with the principles of equity, efficiency, and effectiveness as envisioned in the Constitution, but above all, to check whether you are able to make an impact with a limited budget that you have been given. Because we can't say the budget will never be enough, but with a limited budget, are you able to make an impact? Doing everything in your power, applying your innovation, but within the parameters of the law. Importantly, through these deliberations, the committee wants to see concrete proposals for the speedy realization of access by all South Africans to clean water and dignified sanitation and the effective and efficient management of our water resources. We want to see all necessary controls, capacity and systems in place in the department as we approved funds to ensure that these structures are in place. So I'm looking forward to a meaningful and a constructive engagement so that at the end the committee also achieves on its objective for the meeting, but also we help you to make an impact in your work. Thank you very much. We will then move on to the next item. On the agenda, which is apologies. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. We have three apologies from members. One from Honourable Mana and Honourable Sikli. Honourable Sheikh Imam and Honourable Langini are attending other committees. And then from the department side, we have an apology from the Minister, an apology from the acting DG, Mr. Mkize, who is at the BRICS Summit and has delegated Mr. Matlang to lead their delegation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honourable Member McLaughlin.
Thank you, Chair Lady. Mr. Brandon Topham is off sick today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we have in our midst the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation and also members. I've identified a member of your committee, am I right? You don't have, okay, we have the chairperson. But the chairperson has asked to be excused in a few minutes because he also has his committee sitting so that he can go and continue chairing that meeting. Now, honorable members, do you accept the apologies?
Chairperson, the apologies are accepted.
Any seconder? Seconded. Thank you very much. We will then move on to item number 3. And then with regard to introductions, I request that as members rise and speak, you introduce yourself at that time. Is that okay? Except that I would like to introduce the Deputy Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister. Thanks for joining us. So the rest, you know, as we get along. Okay. We will then move on to item number 3 and request the Deputy Minister to lead us in the presentation by the Department of Water and Sanitation Patents. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Thank you for the invitation to brief the Standing Committee on Appropriations. I understand that we have been tasked to brief you on the Water and Sanitation's fourth quarter financial performance for the 2016-2017 financial year. I would like to also thank the Member of Parliament for accepting the apologies from the Minister and the Acting DG. I would like to say next to me, I'm not going to introduce everyone, but next to me is the Acting DG, Mr. Squire Mahlangu. And I would like to say we note that the work of the department is effectively implemented with the guidance of the National Water Resources Strategy, which supports the transformation of the sector through protecting and conserving this limited resource. The Department of Water and Sanitation Chair was presented with a total budget of 15,107,449,000 rand. This budget has been going towards consolidating, expanding and improving infrastructure in the country. It has been noted that the department's budget has had to be reduced due to the financial and fiscal constraints the country is facing. This means we are now being challenged to do more with less. In particular, we have been faced with an overwhelming drought that has been all provinces retain water restrictions regulation, even though some rainfall has taken place to alleviate drought conditions. For instance, Chair, in 2015, we undertook a process to declare 8 provinces as disaster zones because of the drought. In 2017, we have undertaken to declare Western Cape a disaster zone, which is the province delayed for 2 years. Now conditions have been worsened there. As such, the Minister of Cooperation, Governance and Traditional Affairs, COGTA, has gone to the extent of earmarking 75 million for the relief of drought in the Western Cape. The Minister and the Deputy Minister are of the view that the National Department cannot sit back and watch as the national water crisis ensues. We stepped in and provided financial and practical support to municipalities because communities cannot be deprived of service delivery when they knock at the door. I just want to highlight 2 issues, Chairperson and Honourable Members, that it's not a new department, but before it was Water Affairs, but now it's Water and Sanitation. This department has no water master plan, and that is we were in the process of establishing the Water and Sanitation Master Plan. We want to also realize that speculations about extent of department's debts and obligation can be better explained in detail on platforms that offer us an opportunity to engage with the members about the realities of service delivery, Chair. We are currently owed 3.6 billion by municipalities and 2.9 billion by water boards. This is in addition to the drought interventions implemented to ensure that our people have access to water. We feel as department that we have achieved our mandate of serving the people of South Africa with the capacity that we have been given. But we also realize that our support to municipalities has costed us a great deal in terms of our own performance as a department, Chair. If we can open the floor for further engagement, I am sure the Acting Director General and the team can elaborate more on these issues. Chair, I'm not going to go deep in the technicalities of the presentation. The team here, which is leading me, is going to do the presentation. I'm now going to hand over to Acting Deputy General, Mr. Squire. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Deputy Minister. The fourth quarter analysis report covers all the matters that were done by the department, and we do it cumulatively for the whole year. But you would still obviously not have the Auditor General's report and everything, so there will still be that will come later and not now. In terms of the analysis on page 6 of the report, We have the analysis of the main account. The department is divided into two accounts. We have a CFO for the water trading entity and a CFO for the main account. So we report on the two entities. Before I go any further, the National Development Plan does envisage that the water trading entity would be converted in the future into a water agency and be removed from the department. So that's a matter that we have appointed people to look into, and it's a process that will start with, that will continue with vim and vigor to make sure that we do meet the National Development Program strategy. If you look at the slide 6 of the document, you will then see that we've divided the main account into five programs as in the budget. Program 1 is administration, and in administration, 80% of the goals that we set for ourselves were achieved, and 10% were partially achieved, and 10% were not achieved at all. Now, when we say at all, we don't mean nothing was done. What we mean is that achieved is 100%. If you said you're going to buy 100 cows, you bought 100 cows. That's achieved. Partially achieved is that you said you're going to buy 100 cows, but you only managed to buy between 50 and 99 cows. And not achieved is anything below 50. So if you did not achieve 50% of the goal, then we consider it not achieved. Although there may be a lot of work done in that regard. For instance, if you're building a dam, it will obviously, sometimes you estimate that you may finish the dam in a particular year, and because of rain or other intervening impossibilities, you do find that you have not achieved what you set out to achieve to the extent that you thought you would be able to achieve it. Planning achieved 64% of their goals, 27% were partially achieved, 9% were not achieved. And in planning for this year, we do intend having a water master plan. Now, Chairperson, what we do intend having in this regard is that we need to have a plan for the whole country on the delivery of water, so that we do not find ourselves every year coming to the committee to ask for money based on plans for a particular year only. We want to have a master plan that we discuss with our portfolio committee and the portfolio committee, so that we are able to talk about the money required to get South Africa to a state where the poorest of the poor have tap water in their houses, or have regular supply of water without the situation that we are facing in the country at the moment. It will continue until possibly this year. We would want to have this year as a milestone on that regard, that we do give you a report on that. On the infrastructure, 33% of the things that we promised to do were done, 28% were partially achieved, and 39% were not achieved. The major reason for the main account problem stems from the amount of money that we had to spend in assisting Kiani. 4 or 5 years ago, the president went into Kiani and promised the people in Kiani that they would have water in the area. And when Minister Mokonyane took over, the people still did not have water in the area, and Deputy Minister Chet. And then we went into the area and we had suddenly found a lot of other problems in the area. The court ruled in that the companies that had been appointed by that municipality had to stop doing the job and the department had to do the job. And so we went in there and the people in 39 villages now in that area have water. And I'm stressing the 39 villages because, as the chairperson said, if we show, we should be able to show value for money of the money we spend out there. We spend a lot of money. The value is that 39 villages that had no water before have water now. Obviously, we're still not happy with the reticulation and the pipes that are in that area because a lot of them are still made of asbestos. But this affected our expenditure on infrastructure generally. On sanitation, we had a budget that was exceeded by 292 million. We achieved a lot of the issues that we wanted to achieve, but the long and short of it is that we have not finished backyard eradication in the country as promised. This project was mainly for backyard eradication in areas, in township areas where other people had buckets, and we said let's deal with that, and the municipalities can continue dealing with that normal job that they do. So it was actually supposed to be a short-term project to assist to make sure that we get rid of bucket eradication in those areas. As you can see, we achieved 83%, but it's been much more than what we had planned to do. The problem that we have is in regulation. Now, regulation deals with many matters for us. The one is making sure that the licensed people operate with licenses for water so that we don't run out of water and we allocate a particular amount of water for a particular area, and that they monitor that we don't have waste running into rivers. We monitor many other things, and we are of the opinion as a department that there is a serious need to revamp the functioning of this division to make sure that we achieve the goals that it has been set out to do. You read normally about the green scorpions and all that. We want to see the effectiveness of those green scorpions. You have farmers that restrict water flowing into areas where our people live because the dams are in their areas or something like that. We want to see all those changes taking place. So yeah, we want to revamp the functioning out there just to make sure that we get the results that we want. The reasons for the non-achievement are many in this regard, but we can discuss that chairperson at any time. The analysis of the water trading sub-program is that on page 8, that 67% of the goals were achieved in financial management, and then we had a minus 23% partially achieved. The major reason for, again, on this one has been the issue that our augmentation budget from... You know, we normally get money from National Treasury augmenting the finances of WTE. And our augmentation money has been cut because of what the Deputy Minister was talking about, that when the country was facing serious financial matters, they had to be cut all over the departments. And one of the places where there was a cut was in water trading entity, but the CFO for that program is available. He will talk to it. The proto CMA is the ones that do catchment management area to check that the rivers are clean and to do many other things, has achieved all the goals that it set out to do. The Deputy Minister really alluded to the fact that the budget on page 10 was adjusted to 15.5 billion, that we spent 15.6 billion and therefore we exceeded the budget by 1%, the overall combined. And the major reason for that, as I said earlier on, was that the water and sanitation services, the bucket eradication, which had 778 million for expenditure, spent 1.07 billion and therefore exceeded its budget by 292 million and spent 138% of its budget. As a result, all the savings or all the minor savings that may have been there in the other areas were swallowed up by the money that was spent on bucket eradication. The compensation of employees had underspent by 100 million. The reason for that is that we are busy restructuring the department, as I said earlier on. We're busy looking at whether WTE should be combined with others to make it an agency. In this regard, you're looking at TCTA, whether there should be a combination or not. But it has to leave the department because its accounting principles are not the same as the accounting principles of the rest of the department. But because we are restructuring the department, we couldn't fill all the posts that we wanted. We kept to filling the essential posts that we could fill. We are on a regular basis filling up posts as and when requested by managers. The goods and services major expenditure there was a drought relief. Now, the Deputy Minister has already alluded to the fact that we spend a lot of money assisting municipalities with drought relief. What we did was the municipalities in various parts of the country were unable to provide water to our communities. And we therefore tank cut water to the various municipalities at a great cost to the department, and obviously this is something that National Treasury and the Auditor General's Office feel very strongly that it should be done by the municipalities themselves, but they were in dire straits. Some of them would have been unable to provide the water, and my ministers were very clear that we could not have communities without water, and therefore we did spend a lot of money on tankering and making sure that this was done. We therefore assisted too with operations and maintenance related interventions in certain areas. On transfers and subsidies, there was an amount of 40 million that was allocated to the Thabazimbi local municipality for the WISIC program, which was not transferred primarily because the municipality had its own problems, legal issues in administration. The DDG for NWAR will explain that further. I have, as of last night, requested her that she must look at the matter and see whether anything can be done with such municipalities generally. So, yeah, it's something that we will come back to the committee too about. Then the overspending on the bucket issue I've spoken about. Transfers and subsidies on page 15, we had 4.6 billion. We transferred 4.681 billion. So there was 14 million, 14 million that wasn't spent. Because of some of the monies that we're spending on tankering, some of these monies you may have been spent on tankering. Departmental agency accounts, well, achieved 100% too. The paying of the higher education institutions, there was a discussion on this matter between the DG, then of the department, and the DDG International Relations on this matter. There was no real agreement between the two of them because of whatever reasons they were discussing it, and they did not settle the matter. I remember that when I was acting, I did sign that we should transfer the money to the university. And as I said last night, I was hopeful that this would be done in this financial year. It shouldn't be a problem because I had already signed on it. The next slide on page 16 talks on transfers and subsidies, which I've already spoken about, the conditional grants, the money spent to agencies and accounts, 1.7 billion and 1.7 billion allocated to various agencies. Including the energy, the water sector education and training authority, public sector education and training, water trading account augmentation from our own funds, and water research commission in the South African National Space Agency. The water research commission does a lot of good work for the country. They do research on new methods of doing things, you know, that are water related, and they when they make discoveries, they ask the department to try them out. Then we obviously spent a lot of money too on AMCAO. AMCAO is the African Ministers Council on Water. We do have meetings with them. We have the various agreements that we have with countries. Now, as is well known to all of you, if you have a river like Limpopo, it runs through two countries. You have Zimbabwe, you have us, you have possibly Botswana, and you have Mozambique. People using money from there. So we have meetings regularly with these countries to determine the allocation of water and to determine things like if we're going to build a dam, how is it going to affect the other countries, and reach agreements before we do those sorts of things. But we do allocate money for the meetings for such. And this is fully utilized. On page 17, we have the operational expenditure per program. And as can be seen, the administration spent 100% of its money. Water planning information, we did discuss that, spent 93%. Water infrastructure development spent 124%. And as I said, with water infrastructure development, the major issues would have been our involvement in Giani on those 39 villages that had no water, and our supply of water through trucks to various villages that did not have water. water tankering that we did. And water sector regulation, as I said, is a matter of concern for us. We would like to really discuss this 28 million that they did not spend and see how we can improve services in that regard. On page 19, we have budget against versus infrastructure and the amount of money that we spend with RBIC. You have direct RBIC and you have RBIC where we indirect RBIC. Our major problem with RBIC is something that we would need to discuss with our portfolio committee in detail, because we allocate money for projects in various municipalities upon request, and then when judgment time comes on who should get the tender, who should not get the tender, and all that, we have our own little problems on the matter that we're straightening out, that they must follow the tender procedures that are in the Public Finance Management Act, and they must follow the tender procedures that are in the Municipal Finance Management Act. And this is an area that we're working hard on to make sure that the law is being followed, because of problems that we encounter from time to time in this regard. The money is being spent. The water treatment plant, another issue that we did in this year, Chairperson, that we did not do in other years, was the water treatment plant that we fixed throughout the country. We spend a lot of money on work in treating the water treatment plants in various municipalities that are not functional. Again, this was because the municipalities concerned were not able to do this. We have, even at this stage, we have to appear before the public protector. We had to appear before the public protector on Monday because the Zizast Krodmariko water treatment plant is still getting dead into those particular rivers there, and much as we do get WISIC money and ask municipalities to do something about it, eventually we find ourselves in a situation where we may have to assist to make sure that this does not happen, because you do not want to affect the water quality in an area. In this regard, I really wish to use the example that you all probably know about, where a child died in Bloemhof, and the minister had to call a meeting in Bloemhof on a Sunday because the Bloemhof area had water contamination and a child died, and we had to go in there and get one of our agencies to go and assist to make sure that the water treatment plant does the job that it's supposed to do. So there's a blurring of lines on this matter, and we accept that we have to work within the Constitution, we have to work within the laws of the country. But there are times when we really assist even at great expense to ourselves, because you cannot have one life more dying because we say the municipality should look after its water treatment plant when we see that the situation is in dire straits. The budget regulation program I've already spoken about. I'm going to ask the CFO for the water trading entity to take us through Part C of the report from page 21 onwards, and then I will ask various other members of the team to talk on specific parts of the presentation. Mr. Mofokeng.
Thank you, members, Chairperson. My name is Mpho Mofokeng, the CFO for Water Trading Entity. I'll directly go to the second presentation because that is, it is going to flow nicely in terms of the rest of the performance in the fourth quarter. The report is called Water Trading Entity, WTE Financial Performance as at year-end 31st March 2017. I think that's the one, because it does encompass it. That other slide is already included in this presentation. Firstly, members, just to give a background, Water Trading Entity is an entity within the department, mainly being there to ensure the support to the water infrastructure as well as the cash management function that the department is dealing with. In simple terms, is that it is responsible for construction, conserving of dams and canals, big pipes, raw water, as well as the management of the rivers that we have. Now, because of that arrangement, WTE has two sources of income. One source of income is from augmentation, which is the money we receive from the state or from taxpayers, particularly to assist in all the development of infrastructure for the social component, whereas the users are supposed to be the ones that actually invest and pay for the services. Now, if you look at the income statement, it's also important to know that we report in terms of fully GRAP, not modified accounting. So it's fully GRAP. Now, if you look at the first slide there, we have the revenue. You'll have the revenue being from the National Water Resource Infrastructure, means these are the bills or invoices that we bill our customers. So for that, we planned for the year that we'll bill about 3.1 or 3.2 billion. We definitely did bill 3.3 billion. There was a slight increase there in our billing. On proto CMAs, we were planned, we're going to build 415, we built 474, also a higher invoices there. Then TCA revenue, which is mostly the Vaal River system, where we're billing our customers in that area, it's about 5 billion, and we actually built 5.3 billion, which is higher by 6%. Then the construction revenue, that's the job that we do. Within the WTE, we have construction unit that does work for either the department or do work for, in some other cases, municipalities and whatever, where we have raised the bills, and we plan to have raised the bills of 541, but we only raised the bills of 295 million. So there was a slight decline in invoicing in that area. With regards to the augmentation, which is the part that we get from the department through Treasury, is 1.7 billion. We received the whole amount, the 1.7 billion we billed. And the other revenue is for commissions and the rights. Also, there was an increase. So totally, our revenue was about 11.1 or 11.2 billion. However, the problem is that the expenditure, if you look at the operating expenditure, taking compensation of employees, goods and services, construction costs, and TCA, they all amounted to about 7.8 billion that we had as operating expenditure. Then we had capital projects that we have funded. From augmentation, we actually spent about 1.6 billion. Then from revenue, other revenue projects like metering, like revitalization of our canals, refurbishment and rehabilitation, we spend about 646 million, and other projects, the water leaks and other projects, is about 2.4. So if you add all the 7.8, you add the 4.7, then you get the total expenditure of 12.5 billion. If you add the capital assets of 20, then automatically we ended up with a deficit of 1.4 billion. Now, the next slide gives now the details of the augmentation project. Now, this time is from just to say budget and income, and income and budget. That slide tried to illustrate that. And when you go to slide number 2 or 3, the next one, this is now the projects, that the capital projects that we are dealing with, major capital projects. You remember, if you look at that slide, we've got the Olifants River Water, the WOP, we call it the WOP, phase 2 A, C, D, E, F. All those are different phases of the capital projects, and we can safely say that some of them were over and some of them were under. Actually, many of them were a bit under than what we have planned to budget. We budgeted for the major one being the 2D, and I'll give the reasons which later on. Then we had Nwami Tua Dam, which was slightly over with by 21 million. Then Tzanin was slightly over as well by 228,000. Then we had a dam safety rehabilitation, was a bit less. We underspent in that area. And the water resource project raising of Glen William Dam, we also were less in spending in that, which confirms some of the targets that we have not achieved when you look at the performance of Program 3. Then the the Mzimvubu, which was also less by 39.5 million. Then the acid mine drainage, which is the purification and making sure that we treat the damage that is being caused into the Vaal River system, we have spent all those monies. In summarizing the income and expenditure, one will say under revenue, those increases are mainly increases attributed to the entity making an improvement in the efficient and completeness of revenue billing. It's important that you must bill all the customers. Those licenses that you have issued to each and everybody must be billed so that we can recover the money. The other issue that we were reporting is that the whole money that was promised for augmentation, we didn't receive it. On the operating expenditure, employee costs reflects an underspending of 17 when compared to the annual budget for the financial year. The leave accruals that were reflected during the past periods have been reversed, and the adjustment will be processed during the year end. The underspending reflected will therefore be reduced once the leave accruals have been processed. Goods and services underspending of 10% against the revised budget expenditure for goods and services exclude the accruals. At that time, we didn't have the accruals, and TCA reflected an overspending of 11%. Then the underspending of infrastructure is due to the following delays. We have just summarized here that there were delays in the appointment of the civil PSP contractor in Glen William Dam. The tender has been advertised and closed, but not yet evaluated. The process of appointing technical subcommittee evaluation for the technical evaluation of these bids. There was a challenge with the installation of operational anchors, which resulted in a slow progress at Hazelmere project. However, the challenge was resolved and construction is in progress. The late approval of the variation order from Zimbabwe Water Project has caused a delay in the appointment of the sub-consultant to do the investigation, which affected the design work by the PSP. The specification to appoint ECO has been approved. The construction project of the dam safety are not progressing well during the following reasons. The design of drawings have not yet been signed off by the appointed professional. Professional. Sandile will be able to explain those. And an approved EMP has not been completed, awaiting one of the approval of the appointment of the professional engineer. environmental management plan, delays in the appointment of subcontractor for cutting and spillway notches and provision of the gabion and the rock fill materials. All those are the reasons why there was a huge underspending. In some of further, going further to the other reasons of the underspending, supplier not performing in accordance with the specification of the contract was one of the challenges we had on the project. Delays with the approval of the national tender for supply and delivery of crusher run. There was supply issues, supply chain issues. Delay in the approval of terms of reference for combined civil, mechanical, and electrical work. But now, those are now in place. Due to the current underspending, there was a budget reduction of 139 million from the original budget of 2.7. The budget was reprioritized to fund the SEP licenses. Now, the issue of WTE, which is a very big concern, has been the overdraft that WTE experienced. And what we are saying that the causes of it, we're saying, just to give a background, in the year when we're preparing the budget for 2016-17, MTF, there was a 4.4 billion that was cut by National Treasury. National Treasury was cutting it, citing that we should use our surplus, and in this case, the surplus were not necessarily actual surplus. It was cash. It was not cash surplus, but non-cash surplus. It was an accounting surplus. The long outstanding debt was therefore used, because that is where the money was. Then 2.9 billion owed by municipalities and water board was included in the budget as part of the revenue to be received. This amount was not received or recovered. The department engaged with National Treasury and indicated that surpluses referred to were non-cash, but WG did not succeed in the engagement. The Department of Water Trade and National Treasury initiated engagements to agree on the realistic budget for the WT after noting deteriorating financial situation of the entity. Therefore, on the 20th April 2017, Department wrote a letter to National Treasury committing to reduce the overdraft by 200 million at the end of June 2017. That was one of my first milestones, and 748 at the end of March 2018, we should reduce our overdraft. Then we're saying the remainder of the overdraft must come off at the end of 2018-19 financial year. The entity has implemented stringent cash flow management. We don't, every invoice that comes, we check it, we see whether should it be paid for now or not. Therefore, that has assisted us that in the overdraft, in April, it was 3.2. However, the target that we set that we must achieve in June was definitely achieved, because our overdraft in June was now sitting at 2.2 billion. The next slides are the slides that depicts the situation we find ourselves in a sense that the long outstanding debtors, and which is now affecting our financial position. We have about five categories of customers. We've got customers that are companies and individuals. We've got customers that are municipalities. We've got customers which we call them billing agents. We've got customers we call total departments, both national and provincial departments. And we've got another category of customers that's water boards. And if you look at all these customers, as at 31st of March, they were owing us 9.9 billion. 2.1 billion came from the companies and individuals. 3.6 billion came from district municipalities, local municipalities, and metros. 1 billion came from irrigation boards and water use associations. Then 146 million came from departments, whether provincial or national departments. Then water boards, 2.9 billion. Hence, our story, we always say that if you look at municipalities and water boards, It's actually one. It's municipalities. Because when you go to water boards also complain that they are being owed by municipalities. That's the reason why they can't pay us. And that is a problem. It is a serious problem because the liquidity and the sustainability of the water trading is a concern. And we have also said it that even when you look at if it will create an agency, if this fundamental problem is not resolved, that agency might have to be bailed out by the state, like Eskom and the other public entities. So we should address this matter very seriously as a collective. Now, what have we done to try and address this problem and intervene and ensure that we do actually get the money? If you go to the next slide, you'll see that for companies, we have employed a debt collector who's assisting us there. And just to show the members where we are, I'm worried that some of the members are not having the colorful or the case color. I was worried because I saw the black and white, because the color, it will depict. If you look at the money we are saying now, we're dissecting the money of the 2 billion. Where are we in that 2 billion? We're sitting with 881, which is sitting under dispute. That's the rate. Where the customers are saying, we're not necessarily happy with the account. Can you please, the department, explain? Our license, there's a problem about 1, 2, 3. And I'll explain to that what have we done in trying to address, which amounts to 42% of all the problems. So with companies, if we can sort out the 42% of their problems with their accounts, definitely I think that money should be on its way. Then when you look at the next color, which is what, orange, which is the 6%, it's 133 million. We are saying those are the companies we are now taking them for legal process to say, we are now taking you, you must pay us. Then when you look at the light blue, which is 20%, 427 million, those are the ones that we are in progress with them in terms of negotiating, and our debt collectors negotiating. And the 4%, which is the color, the 81 million, is the one that we are tracing. We can't find either. We don't have their proper records, whether, let's say, address or whatever. That's what we're trying to clean up and trying to get those customers. Those that we have already agreed with that they must pay us, which already in the new year they've started to pay, is the 583 million that they've promised to pay. Now, if you go to municipalities, what have we done with municipalities? We have done the whole intergovernmental relations. We met one by one with municipalities. We met municipalities with provincial treasuries. We did everything to speak to them and try to get them to pay. Where they had queries, we resolved their queries. But here is the status that we're sitting with. After we failed with the intergovernmental process, we were bound to therefore say, let's issue summons. And you can see the dark blue, 61 municipalities have issued summons to them now to try and get them to pay. And the orange is the 4% of that four, as we see today, we have received judgment positively that the court says these people must pay. Then the 121 municipalities, which is 47%, legal process, we've completed everything now. We're saying whether they will be issuing summons to them as well. And 74, no legal action has been done to them at this stage because they promised either with arrangements that they have. Then the next category, which is the water boards. The water boards, you see that we've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 water boards. And of all the water boards, of 10 water boards, the ones that pay us with no problems, there are two. That's Amatole and Mthathusi. However, when you go to Sidibeng is not paying. They're also claiming that we are owing them money for other projects that they are doing. Rainwater is paying, but it's on their old demarcation. But they are saying they inherited Bushbuck Ridge. They want us to write off the Bushbuck Ridge. So they are coming to us to say we must write off that in that particular area. Utugela, which was an entity actually formed by municipalities, which was like a body created by municipalities. Also, they're not paying. They are proposing that we must write off 50% of their debt and we give them, you know, a discount. Then Mahalis is promising to pay. Lepelle, they are saying no, they are not paying because the department is owing them. Then Bloomwater, they are not paying but disputing some old debts, debit notes. So those are the areas they overpack, promise to pay. So, members, all I can say that in terms of the collection intervention, WTE dunning process did not yield the positive result as municipalities and water boards continue with the non-payment of outstanding debts. Therefore, the entity had to identify other interventions to collect the debts. The letters of demands were sent to all water users not paying their accounts, including telephone calls, appointment of a debt collector to collect older debt that is more than 60 days, particularly on mainly companies, individuals, departments, and municipalities. We excluded the water board's billing agents, excluded from the handover. The entity decided to call and arrange meetings with the municipalities. I've already spoken about that. They requested intervention, COCTA, provincial treasuries. We went to the Minister of Finance. We went to the Minister of COCTA. There are processes that are unfolding in trying to deal with. The lastly, if you go to the next one, I'm just trying to wrap up the other one, is that we have tried to say if we can get cabinet to assist us to approve the withholding of the equitable share of municipalities, that will go a long way in addressing our situation. Not now, but there must be a permanent solution going forward. As I said, if you create an agency with such problems not being resolved, we might sit with a problem going forward, like what Eskom normally has. Restrictions of water, particularly to the customers like irrigators and everybody who are commercially in business, will have to actually take effect. We're also thinking about blacklisting companies, that we get authority to blacklist companies so that they have it tough for them to actually get any lending whatsoever. Just to go to my last slide. This slide, members, after we have realized that there were still problems of customers, not that slide number, that the slide query resolutions, we had to appoint a company to do customer relations management so that we actually deal with the issues of customers not being able to pay and complaining that, they can't pay because we are the problems. If you look at this status, we had about 20,695 queries or calls that were made at our call center, and majority of them with the moving from high, people were disputing the invoice statement not received. Now, the invoice statement not received, it has been our problem with post office, because we use post office for them to actually send the statements to them. So what did we do now? We have even now went back and said we are going to use emails to ensure that to double, because still by law you have to send a proof of a statement through mail, unless you have agreed with the client that the other method of receipt of that invoice will be emails or whatever. So we're trying to address that matter. But hopefully now, when they phone our call center, they can actually get the statements there and there. If somebody says, I have not received my statement or my invoice, we print it immediately, they get it. Dispute customer balance, we had about 2,000. We resolve about 1,700 where customers are complaining about their the balances, payment not reflecting on the statement. That means our efficiency in terms of allocating the money that people pay, which makes them to be unhappy. Account close, there's been a problem here where customers are closing their, they are selling their farms without even coming to us to tell us that I've sold my farm to another person. Now, we keep on invoicing the old owner, yet it is the new owner now who's actually having the property. But that will be resolved by putting a legislation or a cabinet, a gazette, where we will then ensure that the deeds office should not allow any registration of a farm from moving from one hand to another hand without getting our clearance certificate. That is something that we are putting in place now to try and address, but it still has to go through a cabinet gazette and that process. Linking to billing agents, that has been a problem mostly with irrigation and the water use associations, and most of them, they were not part of SAFUA, and now they are part. We have now managed to bring them in terms of SAFUA. Proof of payment, I can go on and on, but that is the list. So all I'm trying to say is that we have resolved almost 86%, but the worrying queries that are taking long to be resolved is the account closure. You can see there, 21% of those account closures are not done quickly because it involves, we have people supposed to come back to the department in our registrar to say, I'm no more the owner is this particular person, so that we can actually immediately change. But I think with the new law that we want to put in place, it will make us to deal with. My last slides are all the compliance. If you say supplier payments, we are. You see the bar chart there. All our customers, averagely, we are paying all our customers within 98% of our invoices received, they are being paid, both in rent terms as well as in statistical numbers. Maybe let me stop there, Chair, and we'll take the questions for...
If there are any questions, can we continue with the presentation? The issue that CFO raises, I would like to put some rider onto some of them. One, for instance, when he says that we are charging people or we're trying to recover the money from some people, I think it's only fair that the committee should know that there are rural municipalities where it is impossible to get the money. It's got nothing to do with the fact that they don't want to pay us. They simply do not have the money. It's a matter that he has to take into consideration. And it's a matter that we would ask the Portfolio Committee and Parliament to look into how do we deal with those areas where the communities are so indigent that the municipalities cannot raise money to assist. It is something that we think should be looked into in terms of legislation. We'll raise the matter with our ministers to raise again with the executive, but we think that is something that the Portfolio Committee should take into consideration. Our Portfolio Committee of Water and even SCORE, that it's a serious matter. It is not a matter that we can pretend will easily be solved. The problem, as I normally say to people, stems from the fact that in 1994, when the Water Acts were passed, there was an estimation by people that in 20 years, the water problem of this country would be sorted out. That estimate was way off the line. It was wrong, and it needs to be corrected and seriously looked into. The issue of augmentation, as I said, yes, some time ago to people, we are discussing that with National Treasury to put the money back in that they took in from WTE and
And the most important thing that the CFO raises, that you do not want to transfer the problems to a new agency. So we need to, whilst we're building up this new agency issue in terms of the National Development Act, look into how we can circumvent the problems in that regard. In the meantime, to a great extent, he's still going to be forced to assist where he has to assist, because he would have no choice of not supplying water anyway. The problem is going to be whether they can pay him or not. But the supply of water is not something that we as a department can easily stop. It's got to continue. My bosses would kill me if I said I'm not supplying water to a rural area because they don't have money. So obviously the supply of water is still going to continue. Okay, there were other information. There's other information. The request that we got was that we should not exceed 20 slides, which we tried to do with the main account when we presented, and then we added the slides that the CFO added, so we're well above the slides, Chairperson, you gave us instructions to stick to. But because we had two accounts, we took the liberty, and I hope you will forgive us of presenting with much more slides on that. There is information available in to support most of the information that members may want from us, and I don't know how we will deal with that in terms of the future, because we had to stick to the request that we deal with it in this manner. Zandile, the Tabazimbi matter.
Thanks, Chair. Tabazimbi funds were withheld because of DORA conditions. They were not complying with the conditions of DORA, where they have to submit a particular report at certain intervals. It was due perhaps to the instability within the municipality. We then had to write to them, and we could not receive any joy. Unfortunately, then, because of that, we then applied to National Treasury that the funds be withheld. We did that, but this financial year, they still have an allocation that we're hoping that they are going to be able to use. But we are also having a challenge, Madam Chair, that we are discussing with our colleagues from Treasury, because under DORA, where you see that your municipality is not performing, you then have a right to apply the following year that you move them at least from 5B to 6B so that it becomes an indirect grant. However, with the latest audit report, we had challenges where AG qualified us for that to say we can't do it in the middle of projects. So now we need to find a way of closing that gap, because then it means that for the duration of that project, even though the performance is very, very poor, you then can't move them to 6B. It is a big challenge, but we are having a committee from Treasury, ourselves, Treasury and COCTA, that is looking at reviewing the conditions of grants. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Chair, the information that I'm talking about that was
it is in the package that was given to the committee members. It's just that, as I said, we had to keep to the 20 slides and whatever. But if people, if the committee wants us to come back on some other time to discuss the additional information that members have, I'm sure my minister would be gladly say we must come down and present. But the information is there. There is one issue that the CFO stressed, but I think I need to repeat it. The water boards When they say they are owed, they mean the municipalities owe them. We request water boards to go and assist in municipalities, and then they go and assist those municipalities. The municipalities can't pay them. And the municipalities, again, can't pay us. So the 7-point-something billion that is being owed, it is not like the water boards owe us. They owe us simply because they were given a job to do in a municipality, and the municipality can't pay them, and therefore they can't pay us. So it's the same problem. It's 7.1 billion owed by the municipalities, basically, in the true sense of the word, to us. It is not necessarily that the water boards themselves are owing us. And the amounts are extremely high in water boards like CDB, which has a very high bid in that regard. The list of municipalities not paying accounts, we have included that in the list that we have given to members. We've given the debtors analysis to, it's in the documents that we've given. We've given the SCM issues to, in the documents that we submitted to Chairperson. Deputy Minister, I think that covers everything that we brought.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the part that I want to add is the issue of the role played by the portfolio committee concerning the money that were owed by the municipalities. What we did with the portfolio committee, we had a joint study group where they wanted to get the information from the local government. What is it that the Minister of COGTA is doing, which I would want and also request this committee to also invite the local government, because the issue of disaster management is facilitated by the local government, and there are areas which were declared disaster, and that was done by also the local government. The last thing that I would like to raise is that this department is responsible for bulk water supply, but we found ourselves doing the reticulation, which is supposed to be done by the municipalities. As the DG has said, that what we found is that municipalities don't have capacity and also don't have money to do the work. So that's the challenges that we're faced with. Thank you very much, Chair.
Well, thank you so much, Deputy Minister, for, I think you've set the tone for the presentation, but also I'd like to thank the Acting DG and the CFO and all other people who added for the presentation. Honourable Members, I'm now going to open the floor for interrogation of the presentation. And then again, if I may humbly ask that honourable members focus on the presentations. We avoid being personal. Focus on the presentations with the aim of finding a solution. The main aim of us, where we identify gaps, we recommend corrective measures. Thank you very much. Over to you, honourable members. I'm waiting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's a great deal of information here and many questions that one could ask.
Let me allow you five questions.
Thank you, ma'am. It might be sort of an extended question in a sense. If I can explain where I'm coming from. You've made quite a lot of mention here about the inability to collect money that's due to you. Just understand what I'm trying to say. I know you talk about municipalities. I'm very much an advocate of municipalities receiving more money from national government because they're not able to cope with the load that's put on them, especially in an economy that, like ours, is not in a good state at the moment. That means less and less households have available cash to pay things like municipal services. So the municipality's ability to collect money drops. Therefore, their ability to pay you drops. And so it's a knock-on effect all the way up. But the problem I have is the following. The Department of Water and Sanitation doesn't have to pay for the water. You charge others for the water, but you don't pay for it yourselves. You're provided with money from national government to do the infrastructure and to do what you have to do, and yet you're charging others for what you produce. So in a way, it's a bit unfair, because you're not having to fork out any money to get the water, apart from the infrastructure side of it, but you're charging other people for the water. And I'm just wondering about, is this the best way we should be structured? It would solve a lot of problems if you didn't have to sell your water, is what I'm trying to say. Because then the municipalities wouldn't be in this position. The water boards wouldn't be in this position. It would save you a great deal of administration. And I think it would really cut down a lot of the problem. And the other reason why I say it is because, obviously, you're not getting this money in. So there's a shortfall in your income, the revenue you get in. And yet when I look at things like the monies you're spending, and you've shown us here, I mean, the Water Infrastructure Development Program, you've spent 100% of your budget, and you've achieved 33% of your target. That's terrible. That's not working at all, obviously, because it means there's a huge amount of money going to waste or being spent on the wrong thing. Because you know we're near your target. It's the same with water sector regulation. I know you've got problems, but you have to be able to justify why you spend 88% of your available money on achieving 26% of the target. There's obviously a major problem here, and you're not going to address it this way. Getting more money in isn't going to fix that problem. If you're able to recover what's due to you, it's not going to fix those kind of problems. That's an internal problem that you need to address. Now, I'm not sure where that problem arises. You would know better than I do. But there must be a sound reason why it is. Particularly, I mean, infrastructure, that's the biggest part of your budget. Adjusted budget was 12.1 billion rand. And you spent it all and you achieved 33% of your target. I mean, it's frightening. Thank you. I was just asked if I have the... Water and sanitation, vote 36, yes. Total expenditure estimates was 17.5 million. Okay. But if I just go on to the other question I had. Year after year, your department comes here and tells us that the reason for underspending is because there are unfilled vacancies. What is the problem? Why do these vacancies not get filled? Because it seems to carry on and on and on, year after year, vacant posts across all five programs. And then you tell us that because the COE budget is specifically and exclusively appropriated, you're going to have to give back the money you haven't spent. But now surely these are funded posts, the vacancies you've got. And if they're funded posts, then why would you have to give the money back? That money is there for a reason. You need to fill those posts and then pay the people, surely. And is that the reason why your performance versus targets in terms of spending and achievement is so low? Is it because of these vacant posts? And if so, what's happening about it? Because it's something that, as I say, carries on year after year after year. And does it mean, if you're going to give the money back, that now you're just not going to fill those posts, or we're going to stay exactly where we are? And I was referring there to slide 12. Slide 13. You speak about this amount of 14 million allocated to Thaba Zimbi local municipality. This is just a question that crops up. Could not be transferred due to risk of misappropriation. Who decides that? Who decides there's a risk of misappropriation? And why do you do that? I mean, you make the decision internally in your department not to transfer an amount to a municipality that the municipality obviously needs, because it's a rural municipality. It's going to have one of these problems like you just described. And then you say, no, well, because they might misuse the money, we're not going to pay them. That's not going to help them solve the problem. And it's not going to help you get your spending up to where it should be. I'm not fully understanding what the rationale is behind this. Unconducive environment within which Thabo Mbeki probably finds itself. It may be facing legal issues, but if it's a ring-fenced amount, it has to be used for the right thing. Or is there something else we don't know about? Then there's overspending on the bucket eradication program. You know, this bucket eradication program is one of these, another one of these chestnuts that we sit with year after year after year. We keep being told, oh no, it's been eradicated now, it's all done with. And yet, the next time you come and present, here it is again. So I'm trying to find the slide where it showed. I think you spent something like 124%, if I remember rightly. So I'm not finding the right slide now. But what I'd like to know, there was a slide that showed you'd spent 100% of your budget. Here we go. This is on slide 19. 100% of your budget spent in all these programs, except for two of them where you overspent. The Water Services Infrastructure Grant, you overspent by 14%. And the Bucket Eradication Program, which you overspent by 62%. Where did the money come from? Because you spent 100% in all other programs. So you didn't have any spare money in other programs to fund this with, but you got the money from somewhere. Where did that money come from? How are you funding it? Was a correct environment done? Because, you know, if you do environment over 8%, you're in breach of the Public Finance Management Act. It's a crime. It's very serious stuff, this, and I just wonder, how are you doing this? Because you come and tell us that you're doing these things, but I'm very nervous about what you're doing, because it sounds extremely dangerous to you. Apart from the fact that it's not achieving your core function, and that's, from my point of view, my main concern is that your department receives a huge amount of money. It's a perennial poor performer, and we don't seem to be getting any better. You've spent a lot more money this year than you spent in the recent past, but unfortunately you're not achieving the object. That's the problem. Just expenditure for augmented funded projects. This is slide 5 of the second presentation we got. But actual versus revised budget. Now, here you're showing us expenditures of 22%, 124%, 27%, and 116%. So some are way over and some are way under. But you're not relating it to any kind of target achievement. So I don't know what the spend to achieving ratio is here. It would be nice if we could have been given an extra column in both of these tables here to show us how this relates to the actual target that this is supposed to achieve.
Honourable Member, if I'm correct, this is your fifth question.
Is that my fifth question, ma'am? May I just... There was one particular page I wanted to ask on. And then I'll shut up for a while. I'm sure to the delegation to leave. Okay, this is the underspending is due mainly okay, the unfilled vacancies I've addressed already. Then the next point you make here is delays in implementation of the master plans. Now, the Deputy Minister said you have no master plan. And yet here on slide 41 you're saying the underspending is due mainly to delays in implementation of the master plan projects. Now, you can't both be right, the slide and the Deputy Minister. You either have a master plan or you don't. You can't have more than one master plan because that's what a master plan is. It's the master plan. So I'd just like to know, what are you actually telling us here? And also, what delays are these? Feasibility studies and reconciliation strategies projects related to integrated planning could not commence due to unexpected delays. What are these unexpected delays? Can't you unpack this a bit for us? We need to understand. If a thing doesn't happen today and it only happens in 6 months' time, there must be a reason for it. Don't just tell us it's delayed. We know that because it hasn't happened, but we need to know what causes this. What can we do about it? Thank you, ma'am. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Honourable McLaughlin, for your questions. But before I proceed with the questions by members, I'd like to welcome the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on water and sanitation, and your delegation, and the honorable members. You are all welcome. In terms of the rules, you can participate in the discussions. You are allowed. Thank you. We have already received a presentations from the Deputy Minister, the Acting DG, and the CFO. But then we are now on question time. Are there other questions to the department? Honorable members, Nukwanyane?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think my colleague here has actually asked two of the questions that I wanted to ask, but I just would like to have that clarity in terms of the regulation under analysis for budget program 5 regulation, the low achievement of 57%. What have the challenges are in that regard? Because I think this is one area which is quite important, and if it's at 57%, I mean, if you have achieved, it means you have achieved only 26% and partially achieved 17%. What may have been the challenges there? And with regard to Program 3, infrastructure, I know you mentioned that you had to assist Kiani with their 39 villages which had no water. It just if we can get clarity as to then, if you achieve 33%, how did you really account for this particular one now that it helped Kiani? That should be all from my side, Chair.
Just two questions for now, Chairperson. I see that there is you've allocated more money to for operational expenditure, 7.7 billion rand, and less on projects, 6 billion rand, less by just over a billion rand. If you could explain why more money on operational budget and instead of projects. I raise this because projects are about infrastructure, about job creation, basically your bulk water supply project, and you have allocated less. The second, if you could explain that. The second question is on what appears on slide... five of the WTE financial performance document. First, the WOP dam. Seems like an old project which has been there for some time now. And perhaps if you could explain, firstly, how far from completing that project are you? And if there is any additional expenditure arising from delays in completing it, if it is delayed, I don't know what your time span was in terms of finishing, but it's a very old project.
similar to the Umzimvubu project. And I want to go there to the underspending on the others. 2D, which underspent, we only spent 222%. And 2E, you overspent. 2F, underspent quite significantly. And safety rehabilitation is also a significant underspending there. And then the Umzimvubu Dam itself, which itself is an old story, dating back to before 1994. At the time when we went to do oversight in what's that area? Yes, in the Eastern Cape, in 2015, I think, if I recall correctly, we were informed that that dam was going to be built 7 years from the time we were there, from 2015. So it would start in 2022. Between that time and 2022, all sorts of preparatory work would be going on. Please update us as to at what stage the work on that dam is, and why is there underspending on it? Which is a very, it's a huge project, and given the huge area that it has to supply water to, particularly the rural parts of it, it's a project that needs real attention, and especially because it's an old project, as I say, it dates back to before 1994. Certainly with the democratic government 23 years into it, there should have been some speeding up. It's unfortunate I'm asking a department that is relatively new in this field. But obviously, it's in your hands now. Give us an update and explain to us why it continues to be delayed and the underspending that. Thank you very much.
Honourable Member Shopes Tole, thank you, Honourable Member, for your questions.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thank you to the Department for the information. It really does help us to understand, because we don't deal with these things on a daily basis. So, as far as I'm concerned, the more the information, the better, because it makes me understand your situation. I just want firstly to say to the CFO that you don't need to apologize for not using the generally accepted accounting practice and using the generally recognized accounting practice. We understand. We are a standing committee on appropriation. We are not a portfolio committee, and we are not SCOPA. So I try to listen to you wearing that cap, and I like what you wrote here on the bottom. It really helps me think politically. Water is life, and sanitation is dignity. These are very important words. And who am I? People's representative who must ensure that South Africans do have water to live, and they must have sanitation to have dignity, because that is why I am here. And for myself, I am being sent here by rural women. And all the problems, that challenges that are there in poor municipalities, that is where I come from, and that is what I must do. And I'm sure all of you are aware that last week we had an international conference of women, and they gave us marching orders as women representatives to make assurance double sure that the problems, challenges of women are addressed. And that is what I want to see happening. How you are going to get into there, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. But what I want is, at the end of the day, rural women must have life, they must have dignity. I like reading the reports of the Auditor General. For the last 7 years, on the report of the Municipal Finance Management Act, the Auditor General always complains, one, that municipalities do not have capacity, and that many rural municipalities do not have an economic base where they can make money. So those things are established, they are there. The Auditor General has actually talked about those. So we know that these municipalities are not in any way going to have monies to pay you tomorrow. So I think what we should do is to talk as to how are we going to solve these problems of South Africans. How are we going to solve this problem of South Africans who are here, who do not have the monies to pay us, and who do not do it because they don't want to? We know we have got an economy that in the last 20 years did not produce jobs. We know that it's a fact. So what do we do? The other thing is, you said something like you spoke to Treasury to ask them to what? To hold the equitable share of the municipality. That is where you lost my favor. You mustn't do that. How are they going to do their thing? Eh? You mustn't ask Treasury. You must ask Treasury to give you more money, not to hold other people's money, because they will collapse those municipalities. Put back the money. This is what I want. Ask Treasury to put back your money, because when we pass the budget, we debate the budget. You go to your portfolio committee. You convince your portfolio committee that this is what you want to do, and this is the money that you need. So if along the way Treasury cuts your money, you get disorganized. And I think as this committee on appropriation, we need to talk, discuss with yourselves, your portfolio committee, and Treasury on how we must amend the budget to actually see to it that these is essential things. We can talk about other things, but water and sanitation, South Africans must have, all of us, because we understand. I don't know how I should come to work if I had not bathed today. Eh? You wouldn't be sitting with me here. So that right must be given to every South African. I will pause there for now.
Okay, may I, with your permission, honourable members, just ask also a few questions. My first comment would be on the over expenditure. I think the department must get this one clear. And over expenditure is you spending money you don't have. Now, the question that one would then be tempted to ask, where did you get that money? Because also as you spend money you don't have, you would then rob other programs of their allocation and weaken those programs. And also maybe there would be a possibility of those programs not being implemented because you've robbed them of their allocation when you redirected resources to your over expenditure. And then I know a lot of honorable members have commented on the under expenditure. I just would like you to explain the under expenditure of the international water support. If you can explain that and make us understand, and we would also want to see the impact that your under expenditure has made on that. Now, on fruitless expenditure, you have in your presentation you have alluded to an overdraft of money to the value of 3.2 billion. I know that you then have said you've reduced it to 2 something billion. Now, I would like you to at least share with us information on the fruitless expenditure on that one, because any overdraft, doesn't matter where it was incurred, would have accumulated interest over time. And to me, those interests are a fruitless expenditure. And actually, if I may recall, National Treasury actually has shown intolerance on overdrafts because of that reason in particular. And also the fact that the interest, it is true that the department does not budget for interest. So it's money that to me is wasted, and it's money that we're losing, money that we could have used in the best interest of the country, but we're losing it through the payment of interest. Okay, and then my fourth question, irregular expenditure of 1.16 billion for emergency in Guyana. I just want the department to explain because whether it was an emergency, but now it is registered as an irregular expenditure. How are you going to avoid this activity, the irregular expenditure, in future? Because indeed it is a deviation from the PFMA and National Treasury. This is Treasury regulations, I'm sorry. Treasury regulations, it's a deviation. So what do we do with deviations? We want a correction. We want correction on all the deviations. So what are you going to do in future to avoid this? And then lastly, on your financial misconduct, all these ones, obviously, you're talking fiscal ill-discipline. There's no other description for them. Now, I'd like to know if there has been any consequence management. Thank you. I will then hand over to the department to respond. Honorable members, you will get an opportunity for the hand, that's right. Okay, I'll allow this last hand because, Honorable Member Basson, I will allow you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just a question. I've scanned quickly through this document, and if I am wrong, please then just help me with that. I don't see that they mention the 1.5 billion rand accruals that they had in this financial year that needs to be paid out of the new budget. I don't pick it up here. So they need to explain why this is being revealed to the Portfolio Committee but not to yourselves, as well as the scope how it was revealed. The second question is, the water trading entity increased since March 2016 till the end of March 2017. They increased their overdraft with the Reserve Bank from 400 million to 2.6 billion. And I think the question still needs to be answered, and it's the same question you are asking. How is it possible? Where did you get the money? So it seems that's where money came from, because they couldn't get money from the municipalities. So they went into overdraft. So they tell you here in this document that municipalities owe them money, but they went on overdraft to fund their expenses. Then the last question, Chairperson, is that this department's got a history, and I think it's, we need to take this into context. In the 14-15 financial year, they underspent 2 billion rand, which they requested a rollover, which was denied. In the 15-16 financial year, they underspent 200 billion rand, which they also asked a rollover, which was denied. Actually, that gives us this knock-on effect that, you know, you can't get projects running because they are losing money back to National Treasury because they don't have the ability to use it. Now, in this financial year, they have overspent the, which we are talking about, they overspent by 100 billion, but they only achieved 42% of the achievement. So, Jay, you know, that gives us a sense that it's a department that is currently not functioning correctly. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. On the last question, is the mismatch between your expenditure and achievement of your targets, the mismatch. Whilst you overspend, but then you achieve very few targets. Actually, in the main, your overall over expenditure for the year, the accounting year 15/16, is 110.8 million, but then you achieved 48% of your targets.
Yes.
I was trying to illustrate. All right. Over to you, Honorable Deputy Minister and your team.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to the members for the questions. I'm going to start with the questions that have to do with the infrastructure. I'm going to request DG Mate to respond to Giyane issue, the Diop Dam, Mzimbubu Dam, and also ask the CFO to respond to areas of the budget. And I want to, and then lastly, I will request you to round up from the question acting DDG. But the question that I've raised concerning the master plan, I said we are in the process of establishing the master plan. It's water and sanitation master plan. I even said the first question, that this department was water affairs before, and now it's water and sanitation department. And then I said the DDG, Deborah, it's a pity that she is not here, that we're in the process of finalizing it, and it's not the first time we speak about it. It's first time to the appropriation, but not the first time to the members of portfolio committee. We did say we will come when it's done and come and present the master plan to the members. And it is a new story to you, I understand, but with the portfolio committee, it is not a new story. And I would like to start with the DDG Mate to respond to areas of infrastructure. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. It is true that DEWOP is an old project, DEWOP Dam, and in fact it was launched about 3-4 years ago. However, there is still expenditure that is being incurred under DEWOP for the past 3 years. Reason being, one, when we launched it, we had not done the landscaping. So it's basically no longer related to the dam per se, but it's just the aesthetics. And then there's also the issue of the lift. There's a lift that we have been budgeting for the past 2 years. And we're struggling. Our engineers in-house, I don't think they understand the new technology. It went out on tender twice. the responses from the people that are building lifts. It's a lift that there are steps and then there's a lift. Ideally, would want for operational efficiency to get a lift, because sometimes these guys have to go down in the middle of the night. So a lift is better than the steps, but we are still using steps. So the dam is standing. It's just a lift. For the past year, it was lift and landscaping. We're still trying to get the specification. The specification that they put on the tender, the guys that are the manufacturers of lifts are saying it's too old. Now we're trying to say, can we maybe get CSIR, their mechanical engineers, with the latest technology, maybe to assist us, because the guy who has been assisting us with lifts is a very old engineer, and I've picked it up that perhaps we need to assist him to that effect. That's why you still have that. Unfortunately, we still have to put it under the wall, because under the dam, because it's still a portion of the dam, just for mechanical works. And then Umzimvubu has various work packages. Yes, it did underspend, but we have various work packages that would, and if we get money from Treasury to go on site, that we'll be able to proceed with it. There were challenges with us not being able to get a commitment, and I had my CFO say, but you cannot continue to be focusing on that particular project until we get a final commitment on the model, on the funding model of Umzimvubu. And Treasury, on the other hand, they were also a bit resistant in terms of moving with the project. The DG is right now in China because exactly of Umzimvubu, they are trying to finalize that. But some work packages, Umzimvubu is still under design. Design has not stopped. It got delayed during the year because we had a challenge with Amakhosi on the ground. There are many things when the design teams have to go down to do their geotech analysis so that they can then come out with correct designs, because even when you design, you still have to be checking your geotechnical analysis. Amakhosi thought that we are beginning with construction, and they said, no, you can't begin with construction. There are things that you have to do culturally that you'll have to do before you proceed. So we grappled with them for some time until we got people from the area. Then we sat down with them. We indicated to them that this is just really for geotech analysis and so forth. So there were those slight delays, but it is moving. The design process of Umzimvubu is moving. The only challenge we're having with Umzimvubu now is committing to go inside, because there is no commitment on Treasury side in terms of how much money are we getting. Are they even funding Umzimvubu? Because there's an issue around the funding model of Umzimvubu, it being pure social infrastructure. But the amount of money that is expected is way beyond what you would spend on social infrastructure. Because at the moment, we're talking around 20 billion. And now, the funding model of the department is such that projects of that nature, of that size, we would normally fund them with both debt and fiscus. And fiscus, as we all know, that is very, very strained. We are not able to get money from the fiscus. But it is one project that it's unique in its nature, because there are not even users on the ground in the area. Because when you are going to go to capital markets and try and get funding, you will be relying on the users in that particular area that will say to you to support your guarantees, to say we will take over this water for a period of up to maybe 20 years, and that then gives a substance to your application. So that is the real impasse that we are facing on Umzimvubu. But the design is proceeding, and we can be able, with an indication that we are having a budget, we will then be able to go on site, especially for the advanced works. Advanced works designs have been finalized. And then 2DENF. 2DENF is the bulk distribution system, taking water from the Dewop Dam to areas like Lebuahomo. To a certain extent, Ipulukwane will be able to tap into E. The design process has been continuing. Unfortunately, because we took a contract from TCTA, there was a delay during the year in terms of us being able to process the payments. It is effectively the payments, because the team was already working for TCTA, but we could not process their payments because of the legal services transfer of contract between the department and TCTA. But that is actually 2D is, we've even appointed a contractor. We appointed a contractor. Again, it was one of those projects that were affected by the fact that there is no money because of the huge chunk of our budget that was cut last financial year. We have already appointed on condition. The letter went out to say, we are appointing you on condition that if we get money, we'll go on site. So 2D is completely designed, ready to go on site. 2E and F, that is where, in fact, even in our work schedule, we should have perhaps not have put it in the 14, 15, in the